I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to
move it.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to.
And we are back. You are listening to Davinson on the Break. You're listening to Phil Ramirez, See the Light. We were talking about our weekends, complete with 9-year-olds, Wynwood Whisperers, and crushed bikers.
I think that Joe made out the worst of that whole situation.
Well, he didn't get a lovely card, otherwise I would. I got a fish that went AWOL.
Yes.
All right, so we came up with that. We haven't had a new comedy bit in a while, right?
God help you all.
So came up with this one. Basically, the premise of this one is because there's a lot of people make a lot of ridiculous stands and say a lot of ridiculous things and do a lot of stupid things.
No.
In the news.
Yes.
And there's always somebody's arguing the pros and cons of it, of all this stuff.
Yes.
So we figured, well, if this is a ridiculous thing, we should have ridiculous arguments over and treat it in a completely serious way. So, in going with that, we came up with the bit Great Debates in Absurdity.
Yes.
And so these will have debate rules.
Okay.
Each person will get a point, to get 3 points. Mm-hmm. So after the first point, like say if I had the first point,
yes,
Joe would get a counterpoint.
Yes.
And then I can go respond to that. We each get 3 of these.
Yes.
3 points. And if you were the moderator, like you're going to be on the first one,
mm-hmm,
you can ask questions at any time.
Okay.
Of the people. So this is the new theme that Joe created. Hope you enjoy it. Let me just turn up the music so folks can hear it. Here we go.
Our country has seen great debates in history. Lincoln Douglas, 1858. Nixon Kennedy, 1960. Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
Very good, Joe.
I think this is completely appropriate what he created along with what we're doing. All right, so the first debate, we're going to have 2 debates tonight. First debate is about Rick Perry, former presidential candidate, current governor of Texas, said that homosexuality is the same as alcoholism. This is what it says. It says, Texas Governor Rick Perry likened homosexuality with alcoholism, suggesting that an individual can decide not to do that. Whether or not you feel compelled to follow a particular lifestyle or not, you have the ability to decide not to do that. Perry is quoted as saying, I may have the genetic coding that I'm inclined to be an alcoholic, but I have the desire not to do that. And I look at the homosexual issue that way. So,
okay.
So Joe will be arguing the Rick Perry argument that homosexuality and alcoholism are the same. I will be arguing that homosexuality and alcoholism are different and drawing contrast to the two.
I see.
So I will go first in this one. I will be donning my liberal Northeast liberal accent for this a bit because that's probably the part I'd be playing if I wasn't dead right now.
Oh wow!
The person who people imitate when they do this. And Joe, I don't know what accent Joe has. He might do it as himself because he might really believe this shit. But era, here we go. Alcoholism era is not like homosexuality. They are quite different. When one is pulled over by a cop for drinking and driving, one can clearly see the differences between homosexuals and their alcoholics. The alcoholic will blow the breathalyzer and go off to jail. The homosexual will blow the cop, and the cop will get off. Repeated offenses by the alcoholic could result in extended jail time, which could in turn lead to homosexuality. Whereas reported blowing of cops will not lead to alcoholism unless said cops are unwashed, then said homosexual might develop an affinity for peppermint schnapps.
If he's unwashed?
Yeah, dirty penises.
Oh, and peppermint schnapps. Like, this is their scope afterwards?
That's what I've been led to believe.
Okay.
My esteemed colleague may refute this now.
I most certainly would. You can avoid homosexuality. Homosexuality is a genetic code like alcoholism, and it is a proven fact. And it can be overcome, just the way you can overcome drinking and put down the drink. You got to believe in pure thoughts. Pure thoughts will overcome impure thoughts. In a day of the week, let's say you're at the beach, and you see a hunky chiseled man, tat chest, six-packs, abs, suntan lotion glistening on a beautiful golden body with buns of steel. If you feel, well, how can I put this? If you feel the drawbridge is going up, you can put it down by thinking pure thoughts at the beach. This is like trying to put off having a drink. Think about the waves cascading on the shore, the seagulls flying peacefully above the girl next door, on the blanket next door. But look at her purely, because you have to stare at her big cans and tell yourself, I want that. Now, I understand this might be an impure thought, but God does not want you to be gay, and he will sign a waiver for this thought.
Out of niceness and generosity on my part, I would like to offer my esteemed colleague a beverage. It looks like he's getting red and flushed when he was reading that.
He does look a little overwhelmed.
Well, a little bit. I had a feeling, but I'm fighting it. I'm fighting the urge.
Okay.
I'm fighting the urge. It's all genetic codes that I'm feeling in my heart, and I've got to fight. The heart, the purity of the heart will fight the genetic tendency to rub a glistening pectoral muscle.
I assume my esteemed colleague Kara is speaking from experience.
No, I'm speaking from a feeling that I have to deeply repress. That will be repressed, like for a shot of Jack Daniels. You know, I would love a shot of Jack Daniels right now, and I'd also love a shot of Jack, but I will repress the feeling. It can be repressed.
Any particular Jack that you're hoping to get a shot of?
Let's see, a man I know, Jack Meoff, would be his name. But I do not believe that. But I'm telling you right now, it can be hindered, and it can be conquered.
What sort of things are you thinking about? What pure thoughts are you thinking about those thoughts?
The pure thoughts. Well, think about alcoholism. Alcoholism to get themselves off the alcohol, have a 12-step program.
Yes.
And I have some of them. Here's what you do.
Era, is he making another point? It's not a time for another point. Era, is he going? Are there going to be rules for this Era debate? Or are you just going to let him priss and prance all over this debate? Where is the decorum, ma'am?
Priss and prance. I don't believe that those are parts of our type of debate.
Prissing and prancing.
I was going to let him priss and prance, but as you're
there are rules, madam.
Okay,
Madam Todd.
And you would know. They're glistening pectorals.
Sperms have died. So, are you going to make your second point then?
I believe he was supposed to respond to my first. He did not, and just went on his own pen. Obviously, he cannot respond to my arguments. So I will make my second point. Hopefully Eric can respond. Otherwise, I guess he'll just make another point. Clearly, he's ill-equipped for many things.
Would you like to make your second point then, sir?
I would. You should know how the hell this shit works.
Well, we only heard it the first time around, stupid. How the hell do we know?
Eric, take that back.
All right, make your second point then, sir.
Thank you. Era, the differences between alcoholics and homosexuals are evident in our society. Homosexual men are sought after for their taste in fashion and couture. Their reputation for having excellent taste led to the show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Era, nobody's ever sought out the fashion advice of an alcoholic. There was never Beer Eye for the Drunk Guy. Era, nobody ever wanted to go shopping with the guy wearing the stained Jeff Gordon t-shirt. He might be the Rainbow Warrior, but the people who really embrace the rainbow, the homosexuals, would never ever be caught dead wearing such a thing. Only an alcoholic would. When straight men want advice on what to cook for their big date, they much more likely to go to their homosexual friends and ask for advice on how to cook a quiche. They will not likely call the alcoholic and ask him what beer nut pairs nicely with Budweiser. If a straight man wants to woo a young lady, he's much better served hanging out with your homosexuals than an alcoholic. They're insightful, refined, not interested in your lady, and unlike an alcoholic, they will not burp the alphabet in front of your lady at your next party. In an ironic twist, your homosexual friend can help secure the closing of the deal for vaginal pleasures. Yet, your alcoholic friend is most likely your greatest cock blocker. Keep hanging out with your alcoholic friends, you might have no choice other than to become a homosexual. And then your homosexual friend will be there waiting for you, while your alcoholic friend sits passed out on your couch. Yet another difference between alcoholics and homosexuals. They are different and cannot be treated the same.
Okay, sir. Do you have any rebuttal?
That is not true. Alcoholics get some very good advice where they're asked about drinking and driving, and they know not to do that anymore.
Okay.
Where a gay person would also give advice.
Yes.
You know, and to lead you down a road of impurity. It's a letter road. But the alcoholic can change himself. Where the gay person can change themselves as well. They can watch. I mean, how many people have watched Cheers? Is the show about a bar? How many people have watched Bar Rescue? Has that enticed them to go drinking? Not as much as I would say watching Queer Eye for the Straight Guy would.
May I interrupt?
Yes, you may.
When was the last time you watched Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and you wanted to hob and hob? I don't understand. Neither one entices you to do things.
Well, the Bar Rescue might entice you to go to a bar and have a drink, but the alcoholic that could fight that urge would say no. Meanwhile, where you say an apartment tastefully done with a little clip poodle, you would say, I would not like that, sir. Just as where you would say, I would not like to participate in a Bar Rescue event. You repress the urge. The urge is there. The urge is there to drink. When you watch a Budweiser commercial, you have enticed it. You know, you can resist that urge to have that beer as much as when you watch a gay pride float. You don't want to hop on. You don't want to hop on a float with Juan.
Everybody loves a parade.
Ah, but the way to a parade is when you go to a parade to meet a straight life is not to have anything to do with pride. If you have a parade there with meaning pride, you must leave immediately because that's what it's about. Every parade should be about patriotism.
You bring up era parades. I will point out a big difference between your alcoholics and your as referred to era homosexuals.
Oh, yes, sir.
Your alcoholic parades, your St. Paddy's Day parades, your Puerto Rican Day parades, very dangerous. You cannot have young people or children around because there's a bunch of alcoholics doing terrible things. When there's a gay pride parade, they're wonderful. They're colorful. You can have your children there. They're fine children entertainment. Another difference between your alcoholic parades and your homosexual floating parades.
Ah, but that's not true. They both have inherent dangers. You must stay away from the Puerto Rican parade. When the Puerto Rican parade comes by, everybody knows up to board the windows. Okay? When the gay pride parade comes by, everybody knows to board up their fly. That's the way it works. It's repressing the need. Repressing the need. That's what you got to do. You got to repress the need. The same way you could walk away from the parade.
Hey, what do you do with a Puerto Rican homosexual? What is the first urge?
Any response to that, sir?
Well, the first urge is when you see a Puerto Rican man, they're shaved and have their pectoral muscles showing, and you have to repress the urge. You say, I'm sorry there, Pedro, I cannot participate. You will have to go where you would go to an Irish parade or the St. Patrick's Day parade, and O'Flannery will want you to have a drink, and you'll say, I'm sorry, O'Flannery, I cannot drink or participate in this. I might have urges I can't control. The same way where Henrique might come up and say, do you want to do a dance, man? And I have to repress that urge. It's urge and repressing. It's all the gene that's inside you that needs to be repressed, and it can be repressed. That is why I'm saying that alcoholism is the same thing as homosexuality.
Do you ever have another point there? Do you have your second point?
You did have some points about what the steps were.
Yes, on the steps.
Era, stop looking at his sheet. Let Era stupid figure this out for himself.
But I'm like, we're figuring this out as we go.
Era, much like homosexuality, the first time's always a little curious. An alcoholic knows exactly what to do. Chug. A homosexual's not sure. Should I chug or should I dip?
But like I said, there's 12 steps. 12 steps of alcoholism. That's why they have 12 steps not to be homosexual. I mean, number one, do not eat pickles, hot dogs, kielbasa, and a sandwich that could shoot out mayo at you. Avoiding these foods will keep your mind clear of any impure thoughts. You do not listen to any Village People songs because it's a step back into the 70s and also a lifestyle of decadence. These are steps that you could take. You have to do it. I mean, if you find religion, a lot of alcoholics find religion and want to get back. A gay man can't find religion. Go talk to a priest. He knows about those urges. He will know what to do, and he will write you on the road. That's what I'm saying. Alcoholism and homosexuality is the same thing, the genetic code, and you have to learn to break the code and be to purity and righteousness and soberness.
Are you saying that priests have had a successful run of repressing their urges?
Yes, and they talk to God, and God in his wisdom says, don't do that no more, and that's how it works. You know, and another thing is a lot of things that you could repress is don't participate in outing gays. A lot of people like to out gays, and they're standing for the anti-homosexuality. If you want to fight those urges, don't do that, because don't sound good. It sounds counterproductive, but a lot of men who speak out against homosexual have urges in it. Don't take up the cause. You don't want to wind up in an airport bathroom playing footsie with some fella from Boise. Remember, airport bathrooms are for taking a dump, not taking a load. You have to remember that. It's repressed. Same thing when you go to the thing. That's when you don't. You could go to the airport bar, but you don't do that. You sit there. You could go, like, I don't know, you don't go into the men's bathroom and play hokey pokey with your footsie looking for love. You repress that urge. Go sit in the airport. Look at the tarmac. Look at the planes land and think contemplative thoughts. I'm telling you, homosexuality and homosexuality and alcoholism are the same thing.
And you are able to repress both by thinking pure thoughts.
Pure thoughts.
Okay. Era, I have a question, Era.
Please.
My esteemed colleague, Era, talks about the homosexuals being with God.
Yes.
God understanding. Yet my esteemed colleague, Era, does not think that they should be married, man and wife. How can that be? In God's church? I do not understand.
Well, I'll bring it back to a fact. Has anybody
that would be a first.
Well, look at
so far tonight.
If I may bring up a great institution called Happy Days, okay?
Era, I figured you would.
Happy Days. The Fonz would talk to them and tell them not to do something, even though they would follow them. God is like the Fonz. He will talk you out of having that drink. He will talk you out of that having that gay marriage. He doesn't want you to do both, but he's there to listen, and he's there to help. And that's why we have to get back to religion in this country. And that's where the foundation of the country is. And that's where we have to have temperance and pureness and men and women. And that's the way it is.
Era, how can it be just man and women if you tell them to turn to God? Why can't it be man and man? They're different. They're different. They're different. They're different. If I say it more, it's true.
Well,
that's how a good debate works. I scream louder and I say it more. Well, that's Era how you win a debate.
Well, I'm not so sure that you want to be screaming that loud at Fonzie, however. But
he's an old Jew. I'm not afraid.
I mean,
do you have a retort, sir?
It seems like for years you've been repressing your true voice. I feel like tonight, Era, we finally heard it.
And what did you say before? I didn't hear you.
I wanted to know if you had a retort to his yelling.
Not talking about those people. Those
hey,
people
Era, those
how
dare
are those
you?
People?
The retarded.
Oh, the retarded. The retarded.
I thought we were on the Jews. I'm not sure how we got the retarded.
I didn't know. Oh, by all means, go right ahead with the retards.
No, but I'm saying with the retards, they have the gene, and that gene can't be repressed because there's an extra chromosome in there hanging around like a vulture. But in a regularly functioning, they call that the vulture chromosome.
No.
And it sits there and it goes, blah, blah, blah. But in a normal...
How does that chromosome act again?
Like a vulture. Blah, blah, blah.
It sounds like my esteemed colleague's wife.
By the way, the chat room is saying, airport footsie with Joe the Tinkle Listener.
Era, they do remember. He is the Tinkle Listener.
They do remember these things fondly.
Era, I'm glad the Den Pen is keeping minutes of the shows.
Yes, they are. They're keeping strong track. As a moderator, I am quite afraid that I think our time is up with this particular debate, unless you have one more comment, sir.
Yeah, Era, I got one more point.
Okay,
my final point. I don't know if my colleague has another point. Do you?
No, I've rest my case.
But just don't rest it on a penis. You would not like that.
No, I would not. Because I
would
fight the penis off. I would fight the penis off like David fought Goliath.
I will close my final argument on why they are different. My esteemed colleague, Joe Carey, has been known to spend the night sucking down jacks. We know from my colleague's own admitted history of taking home the occasional beast after a night of engaging in vast quantities of alcohol consumption that he can drink the ugly women pretty, as many an alcoholic can. Alcohol and alcoholism can make a man bed the questionable female. Our esteemed colleague has said this on this very airwaves. My colleague argues that homosexuality and alcoholism are the same. I ask my colleague, after spending a night of sucking down jacks, could alcohol make you suck a man named Jack?
No, that would not be the case. Now, you have brought up my past experiences with alcohol and some women.
No, I'll finish. No, indeed. I had a feeling Aaron, my colleague, would say that. Alcohol can't make you suck dick. Only innate homosexuality or self-preservation can make Joe Carey suck dick.
No, that is not true.
Oh, well, tell us what else can make Joe Carey suck dick.
I do believe that your colleague has backed you into a corner on this particular point.
Well, no, I'm not thrown into a corner because you would have to bring up a point where they brought up a point several years ago where I took a female back to a home or residence after engaging in several alcoholic drinks. Now, I would not do a man. Now, there might have been a cute man. Let's say there was a cute man there winking at me, pectoral muscles glazing in tight pants with a cummerbund. And he was looking at me.
I do believe he's interrupted. I have not finished yet, man. Are you going to moderate this or just let him espouse his nonsense?
I was pretty sure I was going to let him espouse his nonsense, but you do have a point. You have not finished your third point, so go ahead, sir.
There is a difference. He will have plenty of time. He can do his retarded retots in quite the minute. I will concede this. If my argument is wrong, that alcoholism and homosexuality are different, then at the next compound party, pictures of Joe sucking dick will surface, at which point I'll be laughing so hard that I'll readily admit my colleague is correct. So prove me wrong, Joe Curry. Suck that dick.
I cannot do that because I can repress the urges. Now, getting back to what my...
So you admit you have an urge to suck dick?
There might be an urge, but it will be refuted.
Not if you're drinking.
No, if I'm drinking. Let's bring up the point that you brought up before, where there was an occasion where I was at a wedding and I...
We don't think it was the first time.
May I finish my point, sir?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Somebody should moderate this. Yeah.
I don't think that's possible, but please, do go ahead, Mr. Curry.
Okay, well, I was getting at was, you brought up an event. I was at a wedding of a friend where there was a woman that I took party with and brought back to her hotel room. Now, at that wedding, there might have been a man there in a tight pair of jeans and a cummerbund and a nice sucked tuxedo, and I might have been winking at me. And then there was the woman I took back, which we could refer to as a snuffleupagus. Okay? Now, the snuffleupagus, in all effect, was pretty worse off the looking than the man was. Now, I would have had a chance to take this man back and bed him and maybe not resist that urge, but I resisted that urge, and I said, no, dear sir, you go back to where the room you came from. I'm going to gallop off with the snuffleupagus and then leave a little sampling of my loving on her lap. And then... And that's how you resist that urge, where that you can resist it like you can resist a drink.
So did you have the urge? Did alcohol make you want to suck dick? That's the question.
If it did... Did
you have the urge, Aaron Joe Curry, to suck dick? It is a yes or no. The constituents want to know, do you, Aaron Joe Curry, want to suck dick, and did you repress the urge?
Why do I feel like Nicholson in A Few Good Men?
You want me on that.
We need you on that dick. Did you have the urge? Have you had the urge? Have you refused the urge?
Sir,
we have the right to know. Does Joe Curry want to suck dick? We have the right to know.
We would like to actually know that.
I have fought the urge because that is that gene, that chromosome that whispers into your ear, wanted to take him home. And you have to refute that. And I have to.
In order to fight an urge, you must have the urge. You admit it. You have the urge to suck dick.
But everybody has the urge to drink, and the urge to drink can be fought. It can be fought because alcoholism and homosexuality are the same thing with the chromosome, with the genetic code. And you fight that code, and you tell that penis, no, I shall not wrap my lips around you. Just the way you tell that shot glass, I shall not wrap around, because one, you don't want to have that, and you repress the urge, and that's what we need more, purity, fighting the urge, and that's all good men that have fought, lost their way can come back, like a 12-step program, like the 12-step program that we have prepared down in Texas for them to follow. And yes, my colleague, and yes, my esteemed friend, yes, you've been saying error all through your speech, and that's what you have, errors, because you do not know the truth. You do not know the truth.
Nice.
The truth will set you free.
Era, you can decide when you go to the polls, because Era, I have a feeling my esteemed colleague is fighting the urge for the polls now. I ask you all, ladies and gentlemen out there, Era, are you going to elect a homosexual? I think not. This man clearly fights the urges. Oh. I rest my case.
All right, sir. I think that both of you have presented really strange, I mean, very strong points.
Era, normally I would shake the hand of my colleague after such a debate, but I don't think, Era, he can refuse the suppleness, and I do not want his advances, and he's not drinking, so who knows, Era, what urges he can or can't resist?
Oh, I could refuse the urge. I look at those soft, supple hands, that little goatee of yours, that little curly boyish hair you have, and I sometimes think, but I refuse that. I will turn down.
I do believe.
Turn down that urge.
Era, we got this on footage. Era, we'll be playing this ad nauseum.
I do believe.
I get a funny feeling I won't be working the road anymore.
I do believe we have finally come up with the answer why Davin does not sleep. So,
all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think that it's come time for this poor moderator to come up with a winner in the debate.
No, there are no winners.
There are no winners.
The people
oh, thank God.
This is just a debate. The people can decide. It is up for them. They can go to their polling stations. They can decide whether alcoholism and homosexuality are the same. They can decide whether Joe Curry fights that urge, that inner struggle to fight off those glistening pectorals and really wants to suck a dick. You can look forward. The next compound party should be July 4th. I think, like all of you listening out there who are Joe Curry...
July 5th, rather.
Joe Kerry's Facebook friends, we want to see what gets posted. Will there be pictures from Big A of the Big C in Joe Kerry's mouth? We will tune in.
Big A's Big C? Oh, boy.
So we have another debate.
Oh, God, another.
Another debate. Well done, Joe. Well done.
Very well done, boys.
Oh, I told you, it's great debates and absurdity.
Most certainly.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
So, I'll be the moderator for this one. Joe will be playing one side, and I'll tell you what side in a second. Pip will be playing the other side. There were two stories that came to light in this past week of people having sex with non-traditional things.
That's a nice way to put it.
Now.
All right. So the first one was raft sex, floatable raft sex. For the third time in 3 years, an Ohio man has been arrested for having sex with an inflatable pink raft. Edwin Tobagarda was taken into custody Wednesday, and after he was seen having simulated sex with a raft along a public road. Why do it in the pool in its natural environment? So that's the first one. Joe will be arguing pro raft sex. Joe will be arguing why raft sex is better than what the next story is about, which Pip will be arguing for.
Yes.
Dolphin sex.
Oh, lucky me.
Well, you're the animal lover.
Not in that way.
Well, you put it in the prep.
I know.
Pip's the animal lover. She'll take
Hold on. I know. I'm like, thanks a lot.
Yeah, she comes down. She goes, oh, thanks for making me the animal lover. I go, oh, I'm sorry. Would you like prefer to fuck the floaty?
But the way you know. Is like, I'm the boss, I'm in charge. Pip, you're the animal lover, you'll take the side of the
You'll take the side of sex with a dolphin. Great.
Kerry, you're a drunk that floats in a pool, you'll be on the raft side.
Pretty much. I try to use logic. I want you guys to argue from positions of strength.
Sharu says, I don't think I can make a picture of that, Joe.
Hey, don't cheat on me with Mr. Inflatable over there. We're going to need a bigger me.
I'm going to use you as a towel. So the dry off towel.
So here's the dolphin sex story.
Yes.
A scientist who had a sensuous relationship with a dolphin in the 1960s has come forward to talk about the wet and wild experience in the new documentary, The Girl Who Talked to Dolphins, The Guardian reports. In 1965, Lovat lived in isolation for 6 months with a bottlenose dolphin named Peter in an attempt to teach the animal human speech. I guess is one of the noises they now make. Lovat said that at first she would take the randy dolphin for visits with female dolphins, but that started to take too much time, so she opted to relieve his desires herself manually. That's her quote. The documentary states, it was sexual on his part, Lovat says in the video. It was not sexual on mine. Sensuous, perhaps. While Lovat maintains that she did not have any sexual attraction to the animal, that was not the case for Malcolm Brenner, whose book, Wet Goddess, is based on his own purported 9-month relationship with a dolphin. So, arguing the strengths of dolphin sex over raft sex will be Pip Helix. Arguing the strengths of raft sex over dolphin sex will be Joe Curry. I will be moderating this great debate in absurdity.
Oh, great.
Who would like to start the proceedings?
All right.
He's like, I get my voice. I'm happy.
Well, I firmly believe that having sex with a pool float is better than having sex with a dolphin. Let's look at these facts. A pool float is an inanimate object, and you don't have to be obligated to a relationship. The dolphin, after sex, will want you to cuddle and gently caress its fin. This won't happen with a pool float. Your relationship with a dolphin, you're strictly set in the water. You have to have the relationship in the water. With a pool float, you can take it anywhere. You can take it to the dinner. You can take it to the movies. Have it meet the family. A dolphin requires care. With a float requires air, which is a lot less maintenance in a busy lifestyle. That's another point. You want to make a point now, or I got some more?
Well, no, she can refute your point, and then you have a chance to respond.
Okay, so I just keep going?
No. Well, is that your one point, or is there more to your one point?
No, I have more points, but I could...
You have three points.
I have more
tell
than
me,
three
tell
points.
Us what... Well, we only want three of them, Joe.
All right, pick, I just gave them.
Well, that was all three of them?
Yeah. No, not all three of them.
That was your first point.
That was my first 3 points.
Pip has a chance to respond.
I don't know if having a life raft, even though it is portable and can come out of the pool, is such a great benefit, because it is... rather fragile. It could be poked by anything. It could be poked by a twig if you're, say, lying on the side of the road enjoying yourself. It could be poked by any number of sharp objects. It could be poked in the way that God never intended someone to poke a portable float, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about you doing with this float. I do think that it would probably be better to have something that was a little bit more permanent, a little less fragile. even if it isn't emotionally fragile.
Well, I might take exception to that in a great thing I found on the internet called Facts About Dolphins. The skin of a dolphin is very delicate. Very delicate, whereas vinyl is stronger. So rep sex with the dolphin is out. Where with the pool float, game on. So you got to be careful with the dolphin.
If I may ask Joe a question on this.
Yes.
Could it be that you're a little biased towards inanimate objects and not living and breathing things due to the years you've spent sleeping next to canned goods and not a human being?
Well, she is a human being.
But she's not sleeping next to you.
No,
there's a barrier of Del Monte string beans.
Yes.
Ham hocks.
Yeah.
So could you be biased and not really looking at dolphin sex?
Not really, no, because I have looked up facts. This is all based on facts.
This is not the thing he looks up. Out of all the shit I asked him to do, Joe's like, here's an assignment I can wrap my hands around.
Literally.
Out of all the shit, this is the thing he's not too busy for.
Hey, you guys, another thing again.
I'm not complaining.
No, you can't. They told me to do this shit.
Go on, Joe.
But the skin of the dolphin, you know, it's a soft, you have to be careful with the dolphin. And it's got it's very sensitive skin. So you can't be as friendly and touchy-feely with a dolphin as you can be with a pool float.
I am imagining
you don't get a chance to respond to that.
Oh, I don't.
No,
okay.
No.
Now I
got
back
point.
To make my point.
Yes.
Okay, I'm making my first point. It's always better to have sensuous sex with something that actually has a pulse. And as far as things having a pulse, being also a mammal is also a plus. Because we like to have sexual congress, if you'd like, mm-hmm. with something that's similar to ourselves, as similar as possible, although being of the other sex. But the good thing is that a dolphin is not a human being, which would be something that would be obnoxious and would ask you to get up and make him a sandwich afterwards. The dolphin's really cool with you just throwing him a couple pieces of tuna when he's not caught in the same net with.
Well,
and then he's good to go again.
Well, your response.
The thing with the dolphin is that the brain of a dolphin in body mass is comparable to a brain of a human, which means they're very smart.
Yes.
Which means that there's a lot of emotion there. And they like to involve things that they like. Now, dolphins like to play with seaweed. How would you like to deal with that in lovemaking? You're getting slapped around where the pool float could care less. It has no brain and won't get any bright ideas. It'll just sit there and be afloat. And dolphins get very jealous. A pool float could care less. And you don't want that. You don't want, like, you know, another dolphin coming up and going, you're messing with my man. No, another float's not going to come up and go, knock that off. I have your camera. That's the way it is. In an inanimate object, there's no emotional connection.
I have a feeling that was your second point. Was that your second point? It sounded like a second point. It didn't really sound like a response to her rebuttal.
Oh, it was a response to her rebuttal. Her question was that it's a living thing. And there's an emotional connection to the living thing, and I'm disputing that you really don't want that emotional connection to a living thing. That is a lot better to have it to an inanimate thing.
Sir, I'm going to have to debate that point, that it's not better to have a sexual connection.
He gets to make another point.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he gets, Joe's going to her second point.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry, sir.
Now, as you say...
Finally, he's treated with the respect he deserves as a raft lover.
No, you don't want the dolphin might be reciprocal, but in a dolphin way, where the dolphin is kind of controlling the emotions and the way the sex is going to go. And you don't know what the dolphin's up to. Dolphins have a propensity to dive a thousand feet below the surface in 2 minutes. A raft won't. What if, and you're at the mercy of the dolphin's whims, because the dolphin has feelings and stuff like that, where the float does not. You're free to do what you want, when you want, and how you want. Whereas the dolphin, pretty much because it does have human, well, not human feelings, it does have feelings, and it is a living thing, where you're kind of at the whims of the dolphin.
Your response?
I'm finding it very hard to understand why the dolphin would want to take you down into a death spiral when you've just given it the best moments of pleasure that it's had but the other thing is that the
which a raft would let you do no matter what.
Yes. The raft not having any feelings, but also not having that nice, supple Davin's hand-like skin, would also be, you'd be more prone to chafing. And the Raft sitting in the hot sun is more going to get hot and scalding than beautiful, soft, supple dolphin skin.
Well, also with the selection of dolphin is also the selection of pool float, where you might find a dolphin that is, you know, that is friendly and gentler. You could also find a float that also has a softer vinyl to it, that is cool to the touch. Or you could keep it in a cool place, like the dolphin you'll keep in a certain area. Keep the pool float.
I have a question for Joe.
Yes, please.
Joe, when he so nicely described relations with a dolphin, said that the dolphin was dictating the action. Joe, why does the person always have to be the submissive in dolphin-human lovemaking?
Well, I'll tell you why. A dolphin can be aggressive. And
so can people.
And also, a dolphin can be very slippery.
So can people.
I understand that. But when you're trying
so can rafts. Yeah. Have you ever tried to sit on one?
Ever tried to get back in the saddle when you're falling off?
I just don't understand why. I would think that if you're going to have sex with dolphin, you have pretty strong urges, so you might be in charge of the action.
Comparatively, a dolphin in that environment would probably have a better, because it can swim, and you're in the water, and you can't swim as well as a dolphin. Due to the nature of the situation, the dolphin would have an upper fin in controlling the situation.
Now, if you were with, like, a swimmer, like, say, a Mark Spitz, would it be like a level playing field when you have an Olympic-caliber swimmer?
Not really, because the dolphin will be stronger in the water, even though that Mark Spitz and who's the other?
The guy in your joke?
Yeah, the guy.
I couldn't think of his name either.
Fucking thing I remember.
Damn. Pot smoker.
Yeah, the guy that wins a lot.
Yeah, that guy.
Michael Phelps.
There he is.
Michael Phelps.
Joe's act. Recalling. Yeah.
Got him on stage. But, you know, the guy.
You know, Joe Reed. Joe talks about him every weekend on his stupid act.
The dumbbell can't remember his name. Ladies and highs, my name is, what the hell's my name? But anyway, Michael Phelps and Mark Spitz are true specimens in swimming as humans. But comparatively to a dolphin, they don't stand up. The dolphin will be stronger, more agile, and less slippery.
Pip, your second point.
Ah, okay. My second point is that, according to rock and roll, sex can give eyesight...
Wait, Johnny said something?
Rock and roll!
Stupid.
How did Johnny get in here?
Rock and roll, rock and roll.
Johnny, quiet, we're in the middle of a debate.
Swim away!
According to rock and roll, sex can give eyesight to the blind and can make a dead man come. Surely, it can teach a dolphin to speak, especially a dolphin named Peter. Hmm. So now, what abilities would sex be able to give a plastic float?
What abilities would the sex...
Yes, I mean, sex has the power over animate objects to create miracles, or to create great abilities. What great ability could you give a float, giving it some?
You can give it more air. And that will increase
it's not
size.
An ability.
It's an ability. A float, do you really want the ability in that?
In a float?
In a float, in a dolphin relationship? What more ability do you want to give to a dolphin?
Well, the whole scientific experiment is to give the dolphin the ability to communicate with humans.
The only thing you want to do is screw.
Yeah, but Pip, I have to interrupt here.
Yes.
By the research in the story, sex did not give the dolphin the ability to talk, which was the goal. So though your rock and rolling musicians, your Winwoods, if you will, might preach of the powers of sex, it really did not accomplish anything here.
That was actually the Who and the Rolling Stones, but whatever.
Essentially, the dolphin's command of English was as good as Joe's raft.
Well, you know, you have a good point, Mr. Moderator, but I do believe that had they been left alone, they were taken away from one another, they were... Because the Dr. Lilly, the guy giving the other dolphins the LSD, made the scientific experiment seem like a moot point. So the scientist and the dolphin, Peter, were separated. Given enough time, I do believe that the sheer force of their bond and their primal sex would have given him the ability to yell out.
Pip, as the expert on this subject matter,
yes,
in your expert opinion, how much dolphin humping do you feel is required to get the dolphin to speak English?
I think I'd like to answer in the language of the dolphin.
You don't have an answer.
I don't have an answer.
Well, that was you with the fisher.
Yeah, Joe. Joe, your third point.
Okay. Pool floats.
Yes.
You can have a better relationship. Because pool floats are not endangered like dolphins. Let's say you fall in love with your dolphin, and you decide to start a new life together, and then it gets stuck in a Japanese fishing net and dies. Now what? I mean, there's plenty of fish in the sea, but not your sea. With a pool float, if an errant pin does happen to cause its demise, there are 10 more like it on the shelf at Walmart, and you're back in business.
So you would say that the lack of an emotional attachment to your float, also the great ability of, you know, they're like another bus coming along in 10 minutes, would make that a better arrangement.
Right.
However, I would argue that the strong emotional bond that you would create with the dolphin would be much more important over time than your ability to replace said dolphin with any number of other slutty pool floats or toys.
I'm talking about the emotional attachment. You know, I think a pool float is better because there's so many relationships that you have where people will break your heart. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you don't want to be in an attachment with that. Whether a pool float's an inanimate object, if something happens to the pool float, you go right back to the pool goods store and you buy another one.
Let me ask you both this. This is very interesting and fascinating. Do you feel that perhaps the male of our species would prefer raft sex because we don't want that emotional attachment, but the female of our species, because they always want to know your thoughts and talking crap, would rather have dolphin sex because they can get that interaction and that flipper cuddling afterwards? Do you feel that's what the real divide is? It's over gender. Okay. Nobody.
One pause to think and he figures that's over. Dumbbells.
It could be. You got to remember, a pool float is usually flat.
So are some of the women.
So are round and stuff. But I guarantee if the object we were discussing was of a phallic nature, then I would believe that more women would be inclined to go with the inanimate object than over a mammal.
All right, Pip, your third point.
Okay, my third point.
Final point.
Is that in another scientific experiment, they gave Coco the gorilla a kitten. And she learned sign language. Do you remember Coco the gorilla?
I remember.
And she asked for a kitten and they gave it to her. So mm-hmm. That's proof positive that a little pussy is motivation for communication. Mm. I think that it is possible that providing sexual stimulation to a mammal is able to make it want to communicate, which is a positive thing for most human beings, Mr. Curry accepted, over the fact that your raft is pretty much just going to lay there.
Well, the thing about the raft, and you're kind of mixing it up with it now. Now you're talking about gorillas, which is a totally different thing.
And something Joe could speak with some expertise.
That's true.
I would point
to Mr. Curry.
I personally, if it wasn't a gorilla situation, I would rather be with an inanimate raft than be with a gorilla. Because if I come on the nice raft and bounce around. When you come with the gorilla, it's going to smash you around like a piece of Samsonite luggage. I go raft.
Your response to Mr. Curry's impassioned plea for going raft.
Well,
and I bet nobody will ever be able to hear the term, let's go rafting again.
I think that whether you're talking about a gorilla or a dolphin, any other type of mammal, having some kind of having some kind of response, some sort of passion coming back at you rather than just an inanimate object that's just going to lay there and take it is going to be much better type of sex than, I mean, wrapping your legs around that gorilla and making him scream for a banana or giving you the big banana or that grabbing hold of that dorsal fin and just squeaking your way to ecstasy together. It's going to be much greater than just lying on a raft and taking it.
Well, I have a couple questions for each of you.
Okay, good.
Joe, how would you explain your float lovemaking to your family? You know, it's Thanksgiving. You bring your float home. How are you going to explain that to the family?
I would explain it that this is floaty. And
hey! Work your own side of the pool!
Boys, don't get jealous.
I thought I was the only inanimate object that you love.
All right, go back in the green room. You're not due on stage in an hour.
Fine. We're having a spat.
Guys got to peek out from the wings. Go back in the green room, dumbbells. You got another hour. You're not due to go out. Your set's in an hour.
All right, go on.
I would say you have a better explanation of bringing a raft into a room and going, this is rafty. A raft will sit nice at the dinner table where a dolphin will flap around. Also, you can make pleasant conversation with the raft. Even though it's an inanimate object, you could add your own things there. Well, the dolphin will probably want to speak its mind, and he wants to hear that. And and the thing is that the family can enjoy the raft safely.
You wouldn't get jealous?
Huh?
You wouldn't get jealous if your whole family was enjoying your raft?
No, because I would share the joy of my raft with a dolphin.
Let me ask you a question. Once they know that this is your lovemaking raft,
right?
Do you think your family's really going to want to touch your raft?
We could hose it down.
We could
hose it down now.
We could do the same thing with my dolphin.
Well, let's go to your dolphin. Okay. How would you explain to your family your Thanksgiving dinner? You bring home Flipper. How would you explain Flipper to your family?
First, I would explain to them that I'm homosexual, and then once the commotion died down, I'd say, no, I was just kidding. I'm in love with a dolphin.
The old bait and switch.
Yes.
Different than the float bait.
No. The float bait would not work at all because, you know, my family is determinedly anti-plastic, anti-latex. Anti-plastic. But they do really love animals. So I think that would be the way to go.
The final question to this debate goes to you, Joe. And then we will move on. Joe, it is said, what is it said instead of popping cherry? What do you say about popping a float? I mean, because, you know, guys like to brag, oh, I popped a cherry. You get together with all your pool-loving friends. Do you brag about popping the float?
Oh, you say you bash the stem.
You bash the... That sounds violent.
But well, you know, sometimes...
So you're the dom in your float lovemaking, but the submissive in your dolphin lovemaking.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to get on record. well, very good job by both of you. Excellent debates. The audience can decide for themselves whether they would rather make love to a float or a dolphin. We don't decide for them. As always, we absurdly debate. You decide.
The pen so far is pro-dolphin.
Well, I don't know. I thought Joe made some great arguments. You know what? We'll be back. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll reveal what's going on, the nonsense with Facebook, and we'll do some Belinda. We'll check in on her. We'll be back in a few. Hang tight.
You can listen to Davin's Den.
Unique and different by incorporating guest past and present experiences, The Carrie Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, and writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out our show live Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To listen live or check out past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Carrie Edelman. The Watson & Watson Show was born from a labor of love, or should we say constant disagreement. Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discussing passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, and you can have basically the whole family enjoy it, tune on in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all. Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WatsonandWatson.com.